Hello there. Welcome to Tech Talks with MasterCard, where we have fascinating conversations with industry leaders about the latest in the world of technology and digital commerce. Join us as we dive into explore the hottest trends and insights on how tech is transforming businesses and economies in India and across the globe. Open banking is growing rapidly and transforming the world of financial services. The global value of open banking payments is estimated to surpass $100 billion by 2026. Isn't that amazing? But what is open banking? And how does it add value to you as a consumer? Let's find out in this episode. I'm your host Ritvik Bothakur, and I'm delighted to have Amar Karveer, who'll help us demystify the world of open banking. Amar is a Senior Vice President, Open Banking India Operations at MasterCard. Amar, welcome to Tech Talks with MasterCard.
Excited to be here, Ritvik. Thank you for having me over.
That's great. And Amar, before we start the discussion on open banking, do let us know a bit about yourself, please.
Sure. Let me take half a minute. So I've been associated with open banking for the last 5+ years. And my primary responsibility is running the India operations of open banking for MasterCard.
Thank you for that, Amar. And I would now like to go back to the question that I started this podcast with when we talked about the amazing figures and estimates that the industry has for open banking. So tell us, what exactly is open banking?
Sure. So let me give you a couple of different perspectives. So if you look at open banking, it puts the consumer at the center of having control on their banking data and lets them decide what part of their banking data they want to make available to some other entity and for what specific business purpose. So the consumer is at the center, consumer or small business, and open banking really enables them to control and make decisions about sharing their data. Now, this consumer permission data can then be used by financial entities and fintechs to develop innovative services and features that ultimately benefit the consumer or the small business, and which also significantly enhance the consumer experience. If you look at globally, open banking allows consumers to share their financial data with third-party providers to access new services, products, opportunities, and this can lead to a higher level of competition, which is beneficial for consumers and small businesses, can lead to cutting edge innovation, and thereby significantly enhance the customer experiences. So in a nutshell, again, open banking provides or powers secure, rapid delivery of digital financial services, including, let me give you an example. For example, in the payment space, consumer permission data can help reduce failure of payments and help mitigate the risk that is associated with the payment experience. And this is true for financial institutions, fintechs, as well as the consumers. So hopefully that gives you a flavor for what open banking is, Ritvik.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great summary. Especially for me, it's a great point to start off with, to delve into a much larger world, I'm sure, about open banking. But again, I know, Amar, you talked about how this ties in consumers and businesses. But could you tell me why this is important today? How is open banking important specifically for consumers, you know, from the consumer standpoint, and also, say, for small businesses in the world?
Sure. So again, for this, I am not going to delve too much into the technology aspects of it, but more from a functional standpoint. Mm-hmm. So as a consumer of a small business, really with open banking, you control the access to your data and you decide whom to share it with. So open banking really enables you to securely share your financial data with trusted third-party providers, access personalized financial advice, make faster payments, get better deals on financial products and services. So all in all, consumer at the center and their experience gets enhanced. As a consumer again, you decide using a consent-based approach, who can access your financial data for what purpose and also for how long, right? So that's key. Consent is not a one-time thing. It's not a one-way street. Again, the consumer is in control. Open banking can also enhance security and reduce fraud by giving you greater control on your financial information and reducing the risk of unauthorized access or misuse of your data. So with open banking, you can access a single centralized view of your financial data from different accounts and institutions, making it easier for you to monitor your spending, manage your budgets, make informed decisions. This is kind of just a flavor I want to give the audience. The convenience and the ease of use that open banking provides for end users is one of the more or most important benefits. So by having your financial information in one place, consolidated, you can track your transactions, view your balances, and manage your money more efficiently. So without getting into a whole lot of use cases, which are increasing by the day, hopefully this helps provide a perspective to the consumer on what they can do with the power of open banking.
Well, that sounds fascinating, Amar. And, you know, I know that you touched upon how consumers can be in control of what they share, which also brings me to another interesting point. So India, of course, has made tremendous progress in the digital payments space and is becoming a pioneer in robust policies related to not only payments, but also data security and privacy. How do you see open banking evolve in such a landscape, especially in India?
Sure. That's a fairly powerful question, Ritvik, and I'll provide a broad perspective, trying to cover as many aspects. So for a minute, let's take a look around the world a little to see how open banking has evolved. The US, for example, has been a demand-driven market for open banking, and regulation has been quite far behind, to be honest, in terms of catching up. There is now growing momentum in the US towards a regulatory framework, but that is still lagging. Europe, on the other hand, is a regulation-driven market. When it comes to India, it would surprise some of us to know that India has been a demand-driven market for open banking. And at the same time, the RBI has shown an amazing focus in continuing to develop and evolve a robust regulatory framework. I personally believe that the opportunities in India for us to derive the most benefits from open banking with the consumer and small businesses at the center are immense. Let's just look at the last decade in India. We have seen significant strides in the digital payments with initiatives like the UPI, Unified Payments Interface, leading the way and showing the world how to implement digital payment infrastructures at a massive scale, which is what India offers. Now, many of us may have heard about the India Stack that has provided a robust infrastructure for the accelerated growth of the digital economy in India. Just kind of give you a high-level view. The India Stack consists of four layers. These include the presence-less layer, the paperless layer, the cashless layer, and the consent layer. And again, just to give you a one-line overview of each of these, and I'll tie it back to the open banking, is the presence-less layer is achieved, or it provides for a unique digital biometric identity with an open API access, and Aadhaar is the foundation of this layer. The paperless layer offers easy storage and retrieval of information digitally, and this includes the Aadhaar eKYC, the eSign, the digital locker, and the likes. If you look at the cashless layer, this is the electronic interoperable payment network. And really, if you top of mind, two things that everyone or most of us would know is this includes the UPI and the IMPS, which are both run by the NPCI, the National Payments Corporation of India. And coming to the last layer is the consent layer, which is the most recent. This layer is a modern, cutting-edge privacy data sharing framework with an open personal data store and is run by the Reserve Bank of India. And this layer, the consent layer, is the one that is really powering the growth of open banking in India. So Ritvik, hopefully this provides a bit of perspective on how India is evolving or in terms of open banking.
Absolutely, Amar. I mean, this is really fascinating, and especially these four layers and how open banking is structured around this. It sounds like a very intricate structure. And the first thing that comes to my mind when I see this and especially rolling out in India, what would be some of the top challenges faced by open banking in this space, specifically in this country?
Sure, sure. So rather than focus only on India, let me give you a global view on the challenges faced in the open banking space. And by the way, these also apply to India on a much larger scale. So at the core of the success of open banking is the need for an environment of rock solid trust. The trust that the consumer and small businesses place in whichever entity is handling their data on the fact that their data will be handled with the utmost security and privacy. Now, lack of this trust among consumers and small businesses can be the single largest impediment towards adoption of open banking in any market globally. And that is why the data security and data privacy becomes, or how we manage that becomes especially paramount for the success of open banking. Now, based on our experiences in MasterCard across different geographies, what we have also seen is that the lack of standardization of data access and data formatting can also be a major issue for the success of open banking. So again, linking back to what I said earlier about how the different markets have evolved around the world, based on whether the open banking growth in a particular market or geography is regulatory driven or demand driven or a mix of the two, the intensity of this particular challenge, which is the lack of standardization, the intensity of that challenge varies. And which is why you also see now that even in demand-driven markets, such as the US, there is a growing momentum for building standardization through putting in place regulatory frameworks.
Got it. That is great, Amar. And you lead open banking India operations for MasterCard. Could you tell us a bit about what is MasterCard's focus when it comes to open banking?
Sure. And I think, again, I am going to delve not on the technology aspect, but really our approach to open banking across the world.
Sure.
So when it comes to open banking, we are really focused on building trust, improving the consumer experience, and leveraging technology to drive innovation. We know that, I mean, like we have talked in the last few minutes, open banking involves sharing of sensitive financial data. And that's why we place a very high priority on developing a secure and reliable data sharing infrastructure. Because building trust in open banking is critical to its success and growth. And MasterCard is committing to ensuring that consumers will trust the open banking ecosystem. We also believe that open banking has the potential to provide consumers with personalized and relevant financial services. And that's why we are working to make open banking easy for consumers to use and understand. And our goal is to make the user experience seamless, intuitive, so that consumers can take advantage of all that open banking has to offer. One last comment. We are investing in cutting-edge technologies such as artificial intelligence and machine learning to unlock the full potential of open banking. Because we believe that technology will be key to developing new and exciting financial products and services that will benefit consumers and businesses alike. And while we look forward to the future of open banking, we will continue to help shaping it in a way that puts the consumer at the center, because that's really our philosophy when it comes to open banking.
That's wonderful to hear. And I think many of us who use digital products, when we have the assurance that consumers are at the center and that the decisions that are taken to make these products safer and better, keeping consumers in mind, we would all sleep better at night. So that's wonderful to hear, Amar. Lastly, I would ask you, what are you most excited about when it comes to the world of open banking and especially the future of open banking?
Sure, Ritvik. So I'm going to give you my individual perspective on this. So out of all the benefits of open banking, the one that I am most excited about is the power it has to achieve financial inclusion for citizens around the world. Now, what does financial inclusion mean? It means that you are now able to have people or consumers and small businesses around the world included in the digital economy when earlier or in earlier days, these consumers and small businesses were invisible on the digital ecosystem, did not have access to credit, or could not be part of the digital economy to better their own lives or to grow their business. One more time, right? With open banking, you can choose to share your financial information with third-party providers, like we spoke before. And these third-party providers can offer more personalized and tailored services based on your individual needs and preferences. So open banking can improve financial inclusion by providing access to financial services for those who may not have had access before. So MasterCard has expanded its worldwide commitment to financial inclusion by pledging to bring a total of 1 billion people and 50 million micro and small businesses into the digital economy by 2025. And as a part of this effort, there is also a direct focus on providing 25 million women entrepreneurs with solutions that can help them grow their businesses. Now, if you pause for a second, this is powerful and will have a huge uplifting impact on the society. And one of the pillars that is going to or is helping us achieve this goal is the innovations in open banking. So really, that will hopefully summarize what makes me most excited about the future of open banking.
This sounds wonderful, Amar, and totally speaks to the focus that MasterCard has on the on powering businesses, empowering people, and also doing well by doing good. So that's fascinating. And thank you so much, Amar, for spending your time with us. This has been a great conversation. Thank you so much again.
It's been a pleasure talking to you, Ritvik.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Tech Talks with MasterCard. We hope you found today's discussion valuable. Don't forget to share it with your friends and colleagues. And do subscribe to the podcast to stay updated on upcoming episodes. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay ahead of the curve.